Matthew chapter 28, and we begin reading verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge it gives us and also the promises that it contains. And we just pray you would help us today to just understand the truth conveyed here, that you might help us, that we might fulfill your will, and by not our own strength, but by your enabling and by your guidance. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So throughout this year, we've been considering the thought from John 20:21, where Jesus said to his disciples, As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And as we've considered that, we've recognized that we have a mission to fulfill. And really, we've seen how great a mission that is. Just in this passage alone, we see what we're instructed to do, of how we're to go, and we're to teach all nations, that every people group in every corner of the globe, God wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth and to be saved as they turn their faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he wants us to be his messengers. That we're told in other places, we're to preach the gospel to every creature. We're to proclaim the glad tidings that Christ has come and that there is a Savior. As well, we think of how we're to seek those that are lost. We're to bind up those that are brokenhearted. We're to proclaim liberty to the captives. We're to comfort all that mourn. And so we really think of that there's so many people around us that are brokenhearted, that are in bondage in one way or another. Many that are mourning and suffering this sorrow. And so we have much to do. And as well, we realize that the mission that he calls us to also comes with its challenges and its dangers. That Jesus made it very clear that he sends us as sheep in the midst of wolves. And as well, he says that we go with the expectation that we are going to suffer for his sake. And so, with all of that, as we think of it all, it's very reasonable for us to be entirely overwhelmed by it and say, well, boy, there's so much to do. How could I possibly do it? And the thing is, too, is that we look at it, kind of this idea where he says, well, he's sending us, it just sort of, it almost seems that it's not exactly fair that he's calling us to do something that is so great, so beyond our ability, and he's kind of gone off to heaven and left us to fend for ourselves, to try and stumble and struggle along on our own, try to figure it out ourselves, and with the expectation, okay, well, we're going to be held accountable for doing his will, but how can we do this all alone? But we really want to understand from this passage and from so much of the rest of Scripture that he's not asking us to go all on our own. He's not saying, I want you to do this in your own power, in your own strength, in your own wisdom, and at the end of life I'll see what a mess you've made of it. Know that we see what he says there with all these things that he says in the Great Commission. Of teaching all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Ghost, teaching to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He finishes off by saying, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so it is a promise that he gives, a promise that we can be absolutely certain of, that it's really where you think of it, that this is our Great Commission, this is our marching orders, that we can do it based on really the truths given in verse 18 and the latter part of verse 21, that all power is given unto me, that he sends us with his power, with his authority. But then also we see in verse 20 that he sends us with his presence, that we know he is with us. And he says that I am with you always. And so we recognize that there is no time at any point where he is not with us. And really we understand that he looks at us and says, I know that you need help. I know that you need guidance. I know you need protection and wisdom. And so I'm going to be there for you. And he says, even unto the end of the world, and we might tend to think that that's referring to the farthest reaches of the globe, and certainly that would fit. But we understand, as he's talking about the end of the world, he's speaking right to the very end of time, when Revelation kind of is the closing part of history, and we pass into eternity with him, that he is always going to be with us. And we can be certain of that. And as we look into God's Word, we really see that as God's people, we have the promise of God's presence with us in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Theologically speaking, we understand that God is what is called omnipresent, that he is present everywhere at once. And we see this testimony of David in Psalm 139, if you want to turn there with me. Psalm 139. And Psalm 139, begin verse 7, he asks this question, and of course these are rhetorical questions. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. That he testified, and it was a comfort to him that he knew that no matter where he went, no matter how far away he ran, that God would always be with him. God would always see him and be there to lead him and to hold him up. We see as well in Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning in verse 23, he says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? And that's what we understand, that he is, we so often with our minds, that we think in terms of physically, that we think, well, God is in heaven, we're here on earth, he is far away from us. But we understand that God is a much bigger God, that he is a spirit. He doesn't have, isn't the same as us having a body and be limited to a certain space. That we understand that, as well of the immensity of God, that he fills heaven and earth. That isn't like he's this one person bouncing around from place to place, that he is everywhere at once. He is a great and glorious God. And we see in the scriptures that he promises his people that he would be with them. That we see with Moses his promise to him as they're going to the promised land. We see in Exodus 33 and verse 14, he says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And so he's promising to go with them. And actually, you think about it, for the children of Israel, that as they journeyed through the wilderness, that they always had the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. That that symbolized God's presence, that he was with them and would guide them and lead them and protect them. We think as well in the Old Testament of how the ark symbolized God's presence, and as they journeyed and as they went into battle, that the ark of the Lord was with them, signifying that God was with them. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 31, and this is coming towards the end of Moses' life, where he's passing the torch to Joshua and to the next generation. He's telling them that they are going to go into the land. And he says in Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, he says, "Be strong and of a good courage, fear not nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And we see verse 7 and 8 says, "Moses called unto Joshua and said to him, In the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go with thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." That he's telling Joshua that, and the people, that God's going with you. He's not going to forsake you. And so you need not fear. And we see that as Moses has passed on, that God himself reiterates that to Joshua. He says in Joshua chapter 1, beginning verse 5, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide it for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." That he could have that assurance that no matter where he went, that God would be with him. And it's the same assurance that we can have today, that wherever we go, that God is going to be with us. We see further testimony in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, where he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And so we can be certain of that, that God is going to be with us, that we don't have to be afraid. And we recognize that in Jesus' life, that he made the promise that he would be with his people. He spoke of it many different times in different ways. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 20. He makes a statement, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." That as believers, that we can have that when we have fellowship one with another, that Jesus himself is saying, "I am there with you when you have fellowship together." And we think prior to his death on the cross that he spoke to his disciples, and of course telling them that he was going away, yet while he did so, he also told them that he would still be with them, which you would think for not just for the disciples, but for us as well, that doesn't seem to make any sense. But we understand that as we read it. We see John chapter 14, he makes a statement I think we're all very familiar with. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that is our blessed hope that we have, that we think of, that he has gone to prepare a place for us. One day he's coming back and we'll get to be with him forever. And we long for that day. But it's something that we want to understand, is that we can still have fellowship and draw close to Him even now, because He is with us. We see in verses 16 to 18, He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And so we realize when He says, "I'll come to you," that He didn't come to them in His physical body. We understand that He came to them through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's the blessed truth that we know, that God is always with us, that He is as close to us as He can be. It isn't something where we have to make a call into heaven and wait a few weeks for it to get through and hopefully be a positive response, that we actually understand that He's right there with us, and He knows our needs probably better than we do. We see further in that chapter, verses 27 to 29, where He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." And so we see that he's laying it out, and it didn't make a lot of sense, but of course, on Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit, they realized what He meant. And they understood that firsthand, that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, was going to continue to be with them and help them to live for Him. As well, in the New Testament, we see the testimony of Paul when he was ministering in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. We find that Jesus, the Lord spoke to him in a vision. Verses 9 and 10 of Acts 18 says, "And spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And so, as he sought to work there, that Jesus himself appeared to him and said, "Don't be afraid, be bold in speaking, because I'm with you and I'm going to protect you." And so he continued there a year and a half teaching God's word to the people there. And we see as well, of course, he went through great afflictions and trials and other things. And sometimes he might almost have been tempted to think that God was abandoning him. But we actually find his testimony that he recognized God's presence with them and all of that. This is in 2 Timothy 4, verses 16 and 17, where it says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." And so, in these times where it seemed like he was all alone, Paul recognized he was not alone. He was never alone, that the Lord himself stood with him and gave him strength to go through his trial, so that he could preach of him before kings and governors and others. And so we realize this as we study the scriptures, that Jesus is with us. He is always with us. And as he sends us out, that he's coming along as well. And really, we don't want to look at this idea that he's pushing us forward for us to go alone. That while he's sending us, in a way, he's calling us to come with him, that we're laborers together with him. And he's there throughout. He's not there physically. He's there spiritually with us. And so, when we understand this, when we recognize God's presence is with us, that Jesus Christ himself in the Spirit is with us whithersoever we go, even to the end of the world, what should be the practical result of that? How should that affect us? And we recognize, because he is with us, We don't need to be afraid. It's interesting, and many of you, I think, that have had dogs, you've probably experienced this, that if you're at home and someone comes, the dog will bark and really be brave, right? But then, of course, when you're not at home, a lot of times the dog will just kind of go hide somewhere if someone comes, because they don't have that, their master behind them to kind of keep them out of trouble if they get into a scrap. But if they do have you there, then they have a boldness. And it's kind of the same way, is that if we think that we're all alone and we're trying to face the different challenges, we're overwhelmed and we almost just want to hide somewhere. But when we realize God is with me wherever I'm going, we realize He is much greater than any threat against me. I don't have to be afraid. And because He is with me, I can be bold. We think of the passage that we began with this morning in Psalm 46, where it speaks of God as our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, and says, therefore we will not fear, no matter what happens. That there can be so much upheaval in our world, things can change so rapidly, but yet we can know God is with me, He's keeping me safe, I don't have to be afraid. We think in Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4, where David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That we know that we can, we realize that we have a great adversary, the devil, that walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know that oftentimes as we seek to serve the Lord, that there's many that would seek to oppose us, even attack us. But we realize God is with me. I don't have to fear what man might try to do unto me, that I don't need to fear the devil either. And even though we do fight a great spiritual battle and we wrestle with spiritual forces in high places, that we don't need to be afraid, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And we see in Romans chapter 8 the promise that we have. Beginning in verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And he says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we recognize there is never a time where we are out of His presence. That as He sends us with His presence. He goes with us. There is never a time that we are separated from His love. There is no power on heaven and earth that can separate us from His love. That He is there to defend us. That he that touches us touches the apple of His eye. That and so often that's the thing, is when someone does someone wrong, we react and we think, well, I have to defend myself. I have to get this person back. I have to deal with this. Where instead, when we know Jesus is with us, we say, okay, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm just going to turn this over to you and trust that he can deal with that much greater than we ever could. That we recognize that he's there, that he's there encouraging us. He's there strengthening us. He's telling us to keep going. And we realize just having his presence, just what a peace that can be. That even though there is conflict around us, even though everyone else seems to be losing their head and blaming it on us, that we can have peace. When we have struggles, that he can give us comfort. When we're struggling to know what to do and how to react, that he gives us wisdom. That he's right there and willing to liberally give to us whatever we need. And most of all, we can have courage. That He has a great work that He calls us to do, and He knows that it is too much for us to handle alone, and that's why He comes with us. That's why He's given us His Spirit. And He says to us, yes, you can do this. You don't have to ask, how can I do this? We say, I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. And so, as we recognize that God is sending us, as we recognize what His mission is for us, and all that it entails, and all the challenges it involves, we want to get our minds focused on this thought that He is always with us. No matter what happens, He is never going to forsake us. And so we can do His will. We don't have to be afraid. And we can walk in victory because He is with us all the way. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You for Your word. And we just thank You that for this promise that we have, that You are with us, that You won't leave us or forsake us, that in the difficult times, Lord, that You'll even often carry us on Your shoulders and help us to keep going. And we just pray You would help us, Lord, to recognize that You are with us. Help that to bring us comfort and courage in doing what You'd have us to do. We ask so in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand and we'll turn to one last hymn before we conclude this morning. That's number 422. Number 422, we'll sing Anywhere with Jesus. Number 422.